is a river. I wanna swim in. There's a river. I wanna live in. It's the river. River of anointing. It's the river. Whoa. The river of God. There's a river.
Praise God, it's Resurrection Day across this world. Hallelujah.
Oh, Christ is risen.
Amen. April 24th, 2011. And we are in the studio today for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're always in the studio, aren't we? All our shows are live. I don't know where else we would be. Praise God. Pastor Jim is with me. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we are Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're excited to be with you, and we hope many of you were able to experience a wonderful service in your local church today somewhere around the globe. And some of you may not have, and if not,
here we are.
That's right.
Amen. We had a great service this morning, and we just prayed actually that this would just be a continuation of the service that started this morning. We had just a glorious time of praise and worship, singing the word.
Some of those old songs.
Oh, amen. Well, you know, we sang my favorite.
He lives, he lives.
And, you know, we had just an incredible time of ministry afterwards. The Spirit really moved.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Connie and I pulled out of the parking lot at Tyndall, too. So it was wild. Carol, are you on the air with us?
I am on the air with you, and happy Easter to both of you and
yes,
to the world listening. Jesus has risen. So
amen.
It's a wonderful day for all of us.
You know, I'm so glad you called in here for a couple minutes. And Pastor Jim is sitting right here, and we're excited about this show and what we're celebrating. But you and I were talking on the way as I was driving to the studio, and you told me about a miracle that happened in your life today. And I ask you if you would take a couple minutes right here at the top of the show and tell our listening audience what happened to you.
Well, I called you earlier because I was completely overwhelmed, in the spirit overwhelmed. 5 years ago, I bought two little dogwood trees, and they were no taller than my knee, and I'm 5'4", so that tells you. And they were just kind of spindly and ugly looking. But I bought them, and I couldn't get the regular dogwood. In Georgia, it's difficult to purchase them, and you can't take them out of the woods. It's against the law here. So I couldn't find the ones that I wanted at the store. So I went to this nursery, and they told me they had this particular kind called Kusa, which is a Korean, called a Korean dogwood, and all of the leaves come on before it blooms. And, you know, and normally we think of a dogwood as blooming and then the leaves come. Well, long story short, these little guys have been in the ground for 5+ years.
Okay. Have you ever
and
had a bloom?
They've begun to grow. They are now, which started out at below my knee, now they're about 12 feet.
Oh, my.
But never, ever have they bloomed. Never. I go out and I talk to them every spring and say, is this your year? I fertilize, I water, I pamper them, I baby them. Nothing has happened. So I took my boxer, Floyd Henry, the infamous Floyd Henry,
yes,
out to go to the restroom, and he was on a lead, which he's never been previously because he had been mischievous prior to this. I go out. He leads me over toward my dogwood tree. And I look, I said, oh, my goodness, what's that on the dogwood? I looked. It was one blossom, and I said, no, that can't be a blossom. I kept moving around the tree. The whole tree is filled with white and yellowish-green blossoms. The whole tree. I was overwhelmed. I stood there and cried, and I said, Jesus, my goodness, you have manifested your magnificence to
woo,
me.
Of all times, you've been waiting 5 years, that's what
five
you're
years.
Saying, to get a blossom. Is that right?
5 years, never even one, not even a part of one.
Not even one blossom. And,
not
today,
even one. And today,
you're talking
the
about
tree
today.
Is shimmering with all of this beautiful, beautiful white blossoms. To me, it was a symbol that God says, I know that you love me, and I love you, and I'm going to make this day special for you.
Wow. Carol.
It's the most magnificent Easter I have ever.
There's the applause for this. Here,
just, it's a true miracle.
It is a miracle. And Maxine just sent the pictures. And Pastor Jim, we have internet up, so anybody today can contact us during the show. And that is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And Maxine just sent us the pictures of you in the midst of those dogwoods. Is that gorgeous, Pastor Jim?
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Oh, my.
No, it's his way of saying, I have risen.
Yes.
I am with you.
Amen.
And he tells us, lo, I am with you always.
Oh, it's like.
And I wasn't having a day that was grumpy or anything in any way. And, you know, it's not a disappointing day. My little Easter basket came and you know, but I walked out and it was just for me. And just as I was looking at them, my neighbors drove in and I said, oh, look at my dogwood. God is alive. Jesus has risen.
Praise God. You know, it's so cool that, he created nature and he loves it so much. And he loves plants and trees and all that like we do too. And for that to happen today on Resurrection Day, Carol, that is just huge. Pastor Jim, do you have a response to Carol on that?
Well, I agree. It's just sometimes we think God, you know, we think of miracles as being healings,
right?
Which I mean, they are no doubt about that. But we think of big things like healings or like, you know, huge financial blessings or something. But here is something,
yes,
in one sense, very simple, but still very miraculous and just very meaningful.
Amen.
I mean, it's
very meaningful. You know, he rescued me
through
having Floyd Henry find my breast cancer, and I was rescued through all that. I knew I was carried. I knew from the moment I was diagnosed. I felt within my spirit a rumbling that said, you will be fine. Listen to me. Follow me. And then once again today, he showed me personally in something that was very special to me.
Amen. Amen.
And he showed me his radiance again.
Yes. Woo, Carol, that is fantastic. And before we get to this next song, first song today, we want to tell everybody that tomorrow night, Monday night. Oh, there we go. Oh, that's our engineer adding all these sound effects, Carol.
I hear that.
You hear that? Tomorrow night on Diane Sawyer World News, Carol will be on with Floyd Henry. So you all out there listen and see her. You'll be able to put a face to her name and her voice because she's one of our regular radio team members. So tomorrow night in our area, I think it's 6:30. Is when the world news is on. I know on NBC, and this is ABC with Diane Sawyer.
ABC.
So tomorrow night, we will be watching, Carol. We will be watching.
I appreciate that. I am so grateful for the opportunity. And I must tell you, at one point in my life, about 4 years ago, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, I have plans to prosper you.
Amen. Amen.
And whatever that meant, I accepted it. I said, because I don't think of it as money.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he meant. I think he had plans to prosper me, that I could take the gospel of Jesus Christ into areas where only I can go.
Amen.
Or where he would send me to go. You know, he has my ear, and he has my body to go do what he asked me to do for him.
Amen.
And I think that's what he meant to me, was that I will send you because you're willing to go.
Amen. And tomorrow night, he's sending you to Diane Sawyer. So
that's right.
Carol, thank you.
I think it's a hope for everybody.
That's right. God is working in our lives. He's got plans for our lives.
Oh, yes.
Woo! We appreciate you joining us today. God
so
bless
much.
You.
Y'all have a wonderful show.
Now all right.
This show really opens up the hearts for people, and it gives the shut-ins and those who feel like the less than an opportunity to experience the living word of Jesus Christ. And thank you so much. I love you both. God
love
bless
you. Love you, too.
God bless you, Carol.
We are kicking this off, thank you, Carol, with a fantastic Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris, I've Just Seen Jesus.
We knew he was dead, it is finished, he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away.
guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I just see Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord.
We're seeing Jesus today in the words of the scripture. We're so glad you've joined us on Resurrection Day. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, and we know that was Saturday evening from 6 o'clock in the evening on, sometime before the first light of day, Jesus came out of that tomb a risen Lord, did he not, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Woo, amen.
I'm like you said this morning, I think it was about 6:01.
6:01, because the Sabbath was ended at 6 p.m.
Right.
And why waste time? He could accomplish the 3 days and three nights. In fact, we probably need to tell some of our listeners about that, because the old understanding, which isn't scriptural, is that he died on Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning. And that is preached, it's taught, but scripturally, that is not what happened. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, and do you know, when I first heard that, of course, I fought it, you know.
Yeah.
Traditionalist that I am.
Right.
Well, Jesus himself said 3 days and three nights, like Jonah. He was drawing a type, from the prophet Jonah.
Right.
He said, like, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, I'm going to be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth.
Right.
And
so that couldn't have been Friday afternoon.
There is no
Sunday morning.
You can get 3 days and three nights.
Right.
From Friday afternoon to
right.
Sunday morning.
Right.
I mean, even if you delay the resurrection until dawn on Sunday morning, you still don't get 3 days and three
right.
nights. And the only way it could have happened was if Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday,
right,
and he would have spent Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night in the tomb, and then all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Exactly.
So then the resurrection occurred, I think, you know, at dusk on Saturday, because the Sabbath was over.
It was over.
And Jesus had accomplished what he needed to do while he was dead, and he was busy doing stuff.
Exactly.
And then he just walked out of the tomb.
Right.
We're going to read about how the angel rolled the stone away.
Right.
That wasn't so Jesus could get out.
No. Oh, no,
He'd already left.
He'd already left.
That was so people could look in and see, ooh, wait a minute, there's nobody here.
Exactly. Well, you know, with that in mind, before we get to this part of the resurrection, let's just amplify on that, because that was the year that Jesus... not the year, the time of year that he actually went to the cross was the Jewish Passover.
Right.
And that the city of Jerusalem was full of people. They'd come from all around, had they not, to celebrate
right,
the Passover.
Because in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, God commanded the Israelites and said, 3 times a year must all your men appear before me at the place where I will set my name, which was the temple in Jerusalem.
Exactly.
That being Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
So those 3 times, everybody was, you know, was supposed to be there. So, of course, Jerusalem was just packed.
Packed with people.
Packed with people. I'm sure all the suburbs,
right.
Bethany and Bethlehem and, you know, all those areas
all the little
towns around were probably chock full, too.
Exactly. So, actually, and I talked about this timeline this morning, but we'll make it very brief here. And all of these events really started on Tuesday afternoon. For
right.
the Passover meal of
right.
that week. That is the time that you've all read about in the book of John about the Passover.
We might need to back up
Last
just
Supper.
Even a little bit more.
All right, you go right ahead. Let's back up before we get to this resurrection moment.
Yeah, last Sunday we talked about, it was traditionally known as Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, yes.
If you read in the book of Mark,
right,
it says when they rode into Jerusalem, once the Sabbath had ended, Jesus went to the temple, took a look around, and left. And Mark says because it was already late.
Right.
So we always have the idea that Palm Sunday happened early in the morning on Sunday. Well, how? It doesn't take that long to get from Bethany to Jerusalem. It's only 2 miles.
2 miles.
So
exactly.
This had to happen Saturday night.
Palm Sunday was really Saturday night.
Right. Jesus went in, took a look.
Some of you are going, I am confused. No, this is according to Scripture, and it's according to
right.
history.
According to Scripture and according to history. So Jesus went into Jerusalem, took a look around, saw what was going on in the temple, left, came back the next morning on Sunday morning.
Right.
And that's when the cleansing of the temple occurred and all of that. And some people say, well, he did so much. Well, yeah, in 2 days, Sunday,
ooh,
Monday, and the first part of Tuesday, that's, you know, like Matthew chapters 21, 22, 23, and 24,
he
and
spoke,
25.
He taught so much
taught
right there.
So much.
In those few days.
Right. And mm-hmm. then Tuesday afternoon is when he told his disciples, okay, I'm going to send you off. There's a room that's already furnished. It's all ready for me. You just tell them that the Lord needs it. So the disciples went off, found it, and then Tuesday evening is when they had the Passover.
Yes.
And then Jesus spent...
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper.
That we call the Last Supper.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, of course, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, was betrayed by Judas.
Yes.
Was taken to the high priest's house. Then the high priest, the Jewish leadership, turned him over to Pilate.
Right.
And Pilate, of course, said, I don't want anything to do with this guy because...
I find no fault in him, right?
Pilate's wife, you know, sent him that message
yes.
and said...
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. This guy's been in my dreams. And
yeah,
I'm in trouble.
Leave him alone. Yeah.
And so Pilate tried every. I mean, if you read that, it is in any of the Gospels. It's a really fascinating read,
yes.
because Pilate tried everything he could to get out of crucifying Jesus.
Yes.
You know, he tried to give him Barabbas. Well, they took Barabbas.
Right.
And then,
remember, he washed his hands and said,
right.
I washed my hands of this situation.
Right.
You
he
know?
Thought maybe they'd take, you know, they'd let Jesus go, but no.
No.
They chose to let Barabbas go.
And you know Jesus was standing there going, it's not going down that way.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter. I'm going to the cross. You know he knew where he was headed. He had been in the Garden of Gethsemane.
And he prayed to his father till,
yes.
Luke says, drops of blood.
Yes.
I mean, he sweat drops of blood.
And this was that
agony.
Evening, Tuesday evening,
right.
prior to the crucifixion on Wednesday afternoon.
And so, you know, Pilate washed his hands of
right.
it, symbolically and literally.
Right.
And turned Jesus over to be scourged. And
yes.
we talked about that this morning.
Oh,
you know, it's
horrible.
It was, you know, a multi-whip with a lot of... bone and metal fragments on it.
Yes.
It wasn't in most movies, and you know, as we speak on Turner Classic, The Greatest Story Ever Told is on.
Oh, it is this
yeah.
afternoon. Okay.
And most movies tend to clean it up
yes.
quite a bit to make the scourging not look so bad. The only one that comes close is The Passion of the Christ, the one that Mel Gibson produced.
And that was, see Jesus beaten like that and the flesh just torn from him. And that is what happened.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
pretty accurate. So
yes.
it's like he didn't really stand much of a chance. You know, we don't know if the criminals that were crucified with him, they did have to break their legs.
Right.
They didn't have to do that to Jesus, which fulfilled a prophecy, by the way.
Yes.
Not one of his bones will be broken.
But his body had to be so weak from beating
yeah,
and
that's
the
why,
bleeding. He was bleeding everywhere,
right.
you know.
And even, you know, even so, John records, you know, he said, it's finished.
Right.
And in the Greek, that's perfect tense, which means, okay, it stands finished from now to eternity.
Praise.
It's never going to change.
Praise God. It's always finished.
Amen. It's always finished. Yeah.
Woo.
And then, you know, they laid him in the tomb because they had to get him in the tomb before unleavened bread began. So they got him in the tomb. And, you know, they...
Sometime in Wednesday afternoon.
Sometime late Wednesday afternoon before sunset.
Well, let's back up a minute. Can I back you up?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to wait and do this part between 12 and 3?
Well, okay, timeline. He was crucified at 9, was on the cross.
About 9 in the morning.
9 in the morning.
On Wednesday morning, yes.
Then about from noon until 3, everything went dark. And I heard somebody
yes.
in church today just whisper, well, was it an eclipse? Well, no, it couldn't have been. The reason
really?
Being it's
uh-huh.
astronomically impossible.
Right.
Because at Passover, it's a full moon.
Exactly.
You can never have a solar eclipse when there's a full moon.
Right.
It has to be a new moon.
Yes.
So it wasn't an eclipse. It was a supernatural darkness. It's almost like God put some, you know, just a black cloth over the sun, which, by the way, will happen again in Revelation chapter 6.
Okay, there you go. That was free.
That was a freebie. And then it was dark, you know, for 3 hours. And
yes.
I like what you said this morning. I would have been terrified.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
And if I was one of the Jewish leaders, instead of mocking Jesus,
right.
or even the soldiers, the Roman soldiers.
Yes.
Well, even they fulfilled, I mean, everybody was fulfilling prophecy. They just didn't know it. But I would have been kind of terrified.
Oh.
And finally, when Jesus died and there was that earthquake.
Right at 3 o'clock.
Right at 3 o'clock.
But you also need to tell them about the significance of that 3 o'clock hour.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. All
3
right.
3 o'clock was when the
gives me time to get my chapstick here.
Was when the lambs were sacrificed in the temple, the afternoon sacrifice, and when they would sacrifice the Passover lamb. That's when Jesus died. And a number of things
exactly.
happened. There was a great earthquake. And even the head centurion who'd crucified Jesus said, ooh, truly, you know, this man was the Son of God.
Yes.
I mean, it terrified him. And then not only that, but Matthew records that the curtain in the temple, which was thick, it was 72 plates of 24 threads. So that's a fairly thick curtain.
Yes.
It was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, as
60 feet tall.
It was 60 feet tall. And it was torn in two from top to bottom. And God sovereignly did that to show now the way to him was open. You didn't have to go through the high priest and then only once a year to get into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
We now, as believers, have direct access into the Holy of Holies. And not only that, but graves opened up, and these Old Testament and intertestamental.
Right.
I love that word.
Yeah, that's
saints,
cool.
I mean, saints, you know, maybe some of the Maccabees came out of their graves, and no way to really prove this, but the way Matthew kind of writes it, it sounds like they got their resurrection bodies a little bit ahead of us. And they kind of hung around the graves or whatever until Jesus was resurrected. Matthew records they went into the city talking about Jesus.
Right.
Now, can you imagine?
Can you imagine that? Guys, this is all recorded in Matthew 27, by the way, starting with verse 27 and just finish the chapter. And you'll see all this that we're talking about right now.
And think, I mean,
whoa.
Maybe it was David. Maybe it was Isaiah.
Who knows who these guys were?
Matthew doesn't say, just says the saints. And, you know, for Matthew, the way that would be interpreted, it couldn't be New Testament Christians.
No, no.
It had to be the heroes of the faith. Maybe some of those people recorded in Hebrews 11 got up out of their graves with their new bodies.
Yes.
And then after Jesus was resurrected, can you imagine Abraham going, told you so.
Right. That's the guy I've been waiting on.
Right.
You know what, Pastor Jim? You're exactly right. That's who it has to be. It has to be those old heroes of the faith. And someday when we get to heaven, I'm going to corner David or Samson and say, were you one of those that were walking around there in Jerusalem that day that Jesus died? Oh, my.
Imagine. And then
that earthquake, I mean, it split open the temple. It split a lot of things. It did a lot of...
The rocks shook and everything.
The rocks, yes.
Well, and then of course, they placed Jesus in a rich man's tomb, in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, another fulfillment of prophecy.
Isaiah 53, guys.
And in a rich man's tomb in his death is what Isaiah said, and it's like, well, that didn't make any sense. Until you look at, he was in a rich man's tomb when he died.
Yes, it was.
And they rolled the stone over, and then, you know, the Jewish leader said, okay, we need a guard here because, you know, he said, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. So what if his disciples come and steal the body? Okay. I'm reading this morning. It was part of my daily scripture reading.
Right.
And I'll talk about it actually after what they say after Jesus was resurrected. So they set a guard. They set a seal on the tomb.
Right.
Before the break of dawn on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and some of the other ladies come to the tomb.
Right.
Because they wanted to finish what they'd started that Wednesday.
Which they couldn't finish because they had to take a break because it was
time ran out.
The Passover time.
Right. And I was thinking about the sequence. Wednesday night was Passover. Thursday night was unleavened bread.
Okay.
Friday night was the Sabbath. They didn't have a chance to get there until Sunday morning.
Which was all set up by God,
exactly,
the Father, in advance, and he knew it would go that way.
Exactly.
And Jesus was busy. His body was in there, but he was busy doing other things, which we'll talk about another time.
So early that morning, which happened to be the Feast of the First Fruits, they go to the tomb, and there's another earthquake.
Yes.
And
earthquakes abound. Yeah. Now we're in Matthew 28. In the first few verses, we caught you up all through Matthew 27 is what we just did without reading it. We just told it to you.
So the angel comes down.
Yes.
There's an earthquake. The angel rolls the stone away.
Ooh, amen.
And whoa. It says the soldiers were scared to death. And I can't remember if it's in Matthew, but one of the Gospels said they just, you know, they ran away, they fainted.
I think that's in John.
They saw this big old angel coming down.
Yeah.
And rolling away the stone. And, you know, the women are just amazed, and they're kind of fearful. And the angel says, okay, you've come to see Jesus.
This is verse 5 of Matthew 28.
He's not here. He's risen.
Yes.
And he's gone ahead of you into Galilee. Now go tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and he'll meet them in Galilee.
Ooh.
And
praise God.
Yeah. And It's just so it's just amazing, and I like to think, okay, you know, there's so many theories about what, you know, other people say, well, it wasn't a real resurrection. Huh? First of all, I mean, it's recorded later on, Jesus had them touch him.
Yes.
He was no spirit. He was flesh and bone.
Right.
He was real.
Yes. Didn't have any blood, though.
Nope, that was all before
the
Father.
It was all, yes, because he had spilled his blood. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, some people say, well, the women went to the wrong tomb. Almost every gospel says the women saw where he was laid. They
oh,
didn't
absolutely.
Go to the wrong tomb. Well, they knew where they were going.
Absolutely. The lightning that, I mean, the earthquake. Let's go to Matthew 28, and I want you to comment on this. I'm going to read the first four verses right there. Matthew 28, 1 to 4. After the Sabbath, so now we're talking sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday night, and I think it was 6:01 because he didn't want to spend any more time in the tomb than he had to, I guess. After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene. Now, who was Mary Magdalene, Pastor Jim? This is very important.
She was one of the ladies that had followed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She'd had seven demons, according to Luke, had seven demons cast out of her.
Right, yes. And the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Now, in the Message Bible, the next word is suddenly. Is it?
And behold.
And behold, all right. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet, as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. Now, the angel, I mean, there is this huge earthquake again. I mean, you know, God's getting everybody's attention here. I mean, you know, even those who weren't right there must have felt the effects of an earthquake. And the earth was reeling and rocking, it says. And the angel had a job to do. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Whoa. What do you make of that?
I think.
And where was Jesus when this happened?
He was already out of the
tomb.
He
was already gone.
He was already gone.
Amen.
You know, again, the angel didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. It's so we could get in.
Woo! That'll preach. That's good. Amen. So we could get in.
Right.
And understand the resurrection.
Exactly. So that we, you know, in one of the Gospels, maybe John, who's going to roll the stone away, the women asked. Well, God said, I will. Okay. Set his angels to do it.
Right.
Just so we could see in there and know that there's no body.
Yeah, there's no body.
You know, there was no body in there.
Woo.
And that's what really makes Christianity unique.
Yes.
We have everybody, all the other religious leaders died.
Right.
Only one of them rose again.
Amen.
That
praise
was Jesus.
God.
So,
woo.
But yeah, they.
And the angels sat down on the stone. I think that's kind of cool.
I just kind of picture, like,
yeah, just a bit, you know, big guy kind of, sitting there,
just
like
a big guy kind of relaxing on that stone.
Big guy like you are, just
yeah,
sitting
just
there,
kind
yeah,
of relaxing, leaning back, and
yeah,
and the women are just like,
oh my,
and it says in Matthew, it says the guards were so fearful they became like dead men.
Right,
it's like they all passed out.
Oh yeah, well you know they were just in shock.
But
holy
I think it's
shock!
Funny. I think it's funny. It's the Roman soldiers that passed out. The women are, yeah, they're afraid, but at least they didn't pass out. You know, I just think that's kind of a wonderful kind of irony.
Oh,
these.
And think of I agree, the way the women handled that. Think of the leap on the inside of them that must have occurred when they realized they were looking at an angel, and that the angel, they watched the angel
roll the stone
away. You know, I mean, that's just like, whoa.
And, you know, and that's when the angel says, don't be afraid, ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're looking for Jesus. Peek in there. He's not here. He's
right.
Risen. You know, and.
Woo! He is not here. He was raised just as he said.
Right.
He said it and he did it. You know,
mm-hmm.
He said this is going to happen. He announced it the whole time in his 3-year ministry.
All throughout his ministry, Jesus said, I'm going to be handed over.
Yeah. He told
I will
them.
Die. On the third day, I'll rise again. And boom, he did it.
And but they didn't get it, though. I mean,
no.
And he was so openly frank about it. He wasn't hiding it. And it, like the scripture you talked about a minute ago, he even said, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale,
mm-hmm.
You know, 3 days, 3 nights. So the Son of Man will be. You know,
right.
I mean, okay.
How often do people get resurrected?
Right.
I mean, it's just not.
I guess it was something they'd never seen. Of course, now Lazarus had just happened a couple weeks before that, right?
Right. Well, Lazarus was.
That's John chapter 11.
I believe Lazarus was brought back to life, but not in his resurrected body.
Okay.
He was brought back to life.
Exactly.
Whereas
I agree with that.
Jesus and the saints that came out of their tombs when Jesus died had their resurrection body.
Absolutely. There's a difference. Yes. Mm-hmm. He was just brought back to life.
He was resuscitated rather than resurrected.
Right. Right. Exactly. Go ahead.
And, you know, because Lazarus eventually.
Died again. At some point.
That must have been unpleasant.
Yeah.
Not again, Lord.
Not again. Here we go.
At least this time I know I'm going to go to heaven. Okay?
Amen.
You know, and then the women went off and told the disciples.
Right.
And then, of course, the guards, when they woke up.
Yes.
Ran off to tell, you know, the high priest and, mm-hmm. and all that, all those leaders.
And they were in trouble.
They were in big, because you know what? For the soldiers, under Roman law, they could be executed because it was dereliction of duty.
Right.
You know, for them to have fallen asleep or whatever, they let this happen. So, again, well, just tell them that the disciples came by night while you were sleeping and stole the body.
How realistic is that?
That's stupid.
I mean, come on. All these soldiers, because they had tons of them there.
And first of all, they probably weren't asleep. They were supposed to lie and say they were asleep. But secondly, think about... Right. Where were the disciples? They were all in hiding.
They were in hiding. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, some people still think that today, that the disciples came and stole the body.
Oh, no.
But the disciples were too scared. They were all in hiding. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times, wept bitterly, mm-hmm. had to be personally restored by Jesus.
Exactly.
The rest of the disciples were in hiding.
They were timid. They were scared.
They were too afraid to go steal the body.
Right.
You know, the only plausible explanation for the resurrection is the resurrection.
Exactly.
It happened.
Absolutely,
you know,
it happened.
He came back to life.
Amen.
And walked out of that tomb, or rather walked through the tomb.
Walked through it, yes. Like, I like that you said that they didn't have to open the tomb for him to get out. He was already out. Everybody make sure you get that point. And Jesus, I mean, the angel says in verse 7 of Matthew 28 to the women, now get on your way quickly, go tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He said it emphatically. The angel said, he is risen from the dead. He didn't say, somebody stole this body. Oh, no, somebody stole the body. The angel who came down out of heaven and had all the shafts of light and light coming from him.
His countenance shone like lightning,
and
his clothing was white.
White. You know, and here in the, let's read it in Matthew 28. He rolled back the stone. I'm in verse 4 of Matthew 28. The angel rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him, is what it says in the Message Bible. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. That is powerful stuff, what was going on there.
Amen.
Ooh.
And then, you know, the women obeyed what the angel said.
Right.
And then guess what happened?
What happened?
They bumped into Jesus.
Woo! I love it.
You know, I mean, there he was, and he said...
Now we're in verse 8 or 9 of Matthew 28.
As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came up and held him by the feet and worshipped him.
Ooh.
And Jesus said the same thing. Go and tell my brothers.
Yeah.
Go and tell them I've risen from the dead.
Yes.
I mean, so amazing. I mean, it's just like, okay. I mean, it would have been enough to have seen the angel.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they get to see Jesus.
They get to see Jesus. Ooh. Oh, my. Fantastic. And that is what this is all about. And you know, the world is full of skepticism, Pastor Jim. World is full of people who don't want to believe that this actually happened. You know, that this was a, you know, event that happened. Or like Daniel in the lion's den, or David killing Goliath, and all these huge miracles that we've seen through the mm-hmm. Word of God. There's a whole world of people out there that are skeptics. And it's like, it's just like, oh, that can't be, you know, because why? Because you don't see it right here around right. you, God working in your life. Because what God is really wanting to remind us every year that we celebrate resurrection, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is that He is a miracle working God, that He all things are possible. All things, Jesus said that in Matthew 19:26. Mm-hmm. All things, there's nothing that's impossible. Okay, all things are possible. And Jesus Himself proved it by coming out of that tomb, a risen Lord, against all natural laws. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
No.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
It's a complete reversal.
Ooh, yes.
And, you know, and I was thinking about what He did in between the time of His death and His resurrection. Well, we know He went and preached to Peter says He went and preached to the souls in prison.
Yes. He went down to hell.
Yeah, He went yes. down to hell. Well, and of course the
we
demons.
We have scripture for that in, yeah, in the New Testament.
Yeah, and the demons all figured, oh, we've won. I can just see their glee. And then it's like, I just pictured in my head all of a sudden, you know, wasn't that song, The Victor by Keith Green, you know,
oh, yeah.
we broke the chains.
Right.
He said, I don't think so.
Right.
Took the keys of death and hell from Satan. He took them from Satan.
Right.
And broke open those bars and he emptied out a good part of Sheol at
right.
that point.
So he took with him a lot of saints that had died and were kind of hanging out there. Right,
because before Jesus was resurrected, everybody went to Sheol,
mm-hmm.
Good or bad.
Which
it was great. I mean, just Hebrew for grave.
Yeah.
You didn't go to heaven. The only two people under the old covenant that went to heaven, well, even one of them was before the old covenant, was Elijah went up in the
Elijah in the chariot of fire. I thought you were going to say that.
Right.
Yeah, and we don't know what happened to Moses.
No, nobody ever found the body.
Right, so, you know. But anyway, okay, so we know that Jesus was working during those 3 days.
Right.
He was busy working.
He was busy doing stuff. And I think, personally, this is, you know, it says in Hebrews, he appeared before the Father.
Right, yes.
And I think that happened after sunset on Saturday when he walked out of the tomb. He went to heaven, presented his blood before the mercy seat in heaven.
Amen. That's what he did.
His blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat in heaven.
Woo, praise God.
And God said, it's enough.
It's enough.
It's enough. Every sin that had ever been committed and would ever be committed.
Amen.
Was under that blood.
Amen.
Ooh, praise God.
Ooh, we're going to talk about how that applies to your daily life in a moment. Listening to this song by Casting Crowns, Glorious Day.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed Him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. As living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified, free.
Day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We serve a risen Lord. It's Resurrection Day, and you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim Ellsbury and Marcia McAllister. Pastor Marcia, we are all here with you. We are all two of us. And
yeah.
our engineer, Bill, and yep, right there. And Carol was on earlier, and we had an exciting day at Beacon of Hope today. What a joy to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And we've been talking about it. If you missed any of the shows so far, we usually have our shows on our website on Monday after the show, and you can go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com. And in fact, the last two or three years of shows are all there. And there's a lot of good ones. I mean, you know, there's just so many. I can't even begin to remember. But I know the last 4 or 5 weeks have been just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems like there's a fresh new anointing
yeah.
on the radio ministry, Pastor Jim. And I don't know about you. I know you. You love doing this, don't you? You
I
just
do.
Love this ministry. I do, too. And for those of you that regularly listen, we're so glad that you do. And if you want to be a financial partner, you can do that. And just go to our website and you can give on PayPal there. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. If you'd like to write us right now as we're talking, you can, because we have the internet up, and you can just write directly to my email, which is right there, pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love your comments. That would be great. Or your questions. That would be super. Pastor Jim, the resurrection is such a vital part of our Christianity.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians.
It's everything.
Yeah. Paul says if Jesus wasn't resurrected, then your faith is in vain and you're still in your sins.
Exactly. It's all about the resurrection.
Yeah, Paul says if Jesus isn't resurrected, then you're not going to get resurrected, and why bother?
Exactly. You know, why not just, you know, live and do whatever you want to.
He says, "Let us eat, drink and be merry,
right.
for tomorrow we die."
Right.
There's no hope.
Right.
There is no hope without the resurrection.
Amen.
There's no hope for life now.
Right.
Because we can walk now in that resurrection power. You mentioned it this
yes.
morning. Yes. Because Jesus was resurrected and glorified and sent the Holy Spirit, we have the light. We have the life of God residing in us. And as we draw upon that,
right.
I mean, we have God within us.
Within us.
And that's only because of the resurrection. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell here.
Right here. And that's the significance of that big curtain in the temple in Jerusalem being torn from the top to the bottom. It was like God himself tore it from the top.
Exactly.
Ripped it open so we can go straight into the
exactly.
Holy of Holies.
Exactly. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that God has reconciled
yeah.
through Christ, through Jesus, the world to himself. God's not mad at anybody. Jesus
Amen.
Took the penalty already.
Right.
All you have to do is receive it.
Yes,
you know,
receive it.
It doesn't do you any good if you don't receive it.
Right.
But all you have to do is receive.
Amen.
God loves you, and he proved it by giving his only begotten Son.
That's exactly right. John 3:16.
To die and to rise again.
Amen.
And... oh, praise God.
You can preach here, Pastor Jim.
Yeah.
My heavens.
There's a little preacher living in here somewhere.
Oh, you better believe it.
It's my inner preacher.
It's your inner preacher. And not your inner child, your inner preacher. Yes, okay, got it. Okay. But you know, Pastor Jim, there are so many people out there that will go to church maybe on Easter,
and Christmas.
Connie calls those CEO Christians, you know, Christmas, Easter only, which is interesting. There's a whole lot of them like that out there, you know.
That's it.
They want to celebrate those two big deals, you know, Christmas and Easter. But that's it. That's all they care about doing, you know.
And I think some people do that because anything more would require a commitment.
Mm.
I mean, a surrender on your part.
And a desire to learn and grow.
Right.
And so many people don't have that desire. They want to celebrate, quote unquote, Easter and the Easter Bunny. You know, and
if the viewing audience could just see my eyes do a big roll.
Exactly. And Christmas, it's, you know, we've commercialized it so much that it's about, you know, charge cards and what's your limit and
right.
how much and all of that. And yet we're missing, so many people are missing the true significance. We're talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and willingly, I just kept saying that word this morning in my sermon, I love that, willingly went to the cross
for us. Yeah, he said, I lay my life down of my own accord.
Yes.
I can lay it down, and Johnny says, I lay it down, and guess what? I'm going to take it back up again.
I'm going to take it back up.
And I mean, this is, there were some pretty momentous things.
Yes.
The birth of Jesus.
Yes, was all the miracles. 33
years later, the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the most momentous thing to happen until he comes back.
Until he comes back.
But I mean,
and it's no coincidence he lived 33 years. Three is the number of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. So God the Father said, I want you to live exactly 33 years on this earth, which is interesting. You know how I am about numbers.
I know.
I mean, he couldn't have lived 26 or something like that. It would not have been the spiritual significance that the 3-3 is.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just... The resurrection calls for a confrontation. Either you believe it or you don't.
Amen. Amen.
And if you do, then that means you're accepting everything Jesus did for you. And,
amen.
You know, I brought up that CD, and before the songs that I actually played this morning, I had a couple of other songs from the Messiah, Surely He Hath Borne Our Sins.
Yes. Oh, it's powerful. And the Hallelujah Chorus we did. Chorus. Oh, my heavens.
But I mean, you know, Jesus fulfilled those scriptures, the death and the resurrection of Jesus confronts us with this, that God moved into our world.
Amen.
And
moved
now
right in.
Has given us a choice to make, just like Moses. Just like Moses told the Israelites, just like Joshua told the Israelites, the death and resurrection of Jesus brings us to the point, do we accept it?
Yes.
Or do we reject it?
Mm-hmm.
And if we, you know, if we accept it, then we have life. That's
Amen.
The whole thing. We have life.
Yes.
And all we have to do is accept that he died and rose again. And, you know, so many people, you're right, are skeptics. They come up with all sorts of silly theories.
Right.
He was a ghost.
Right.
Or he was a big old massive hallucination. Or he wasn't really dead.
Right.
Or they crucified the wrong person.
Right.
You know,
all kinds of things
it.
To try to just not accept the miracle that God the Father designed for humanity. It was his plan from the foundation of the earth. That's why all the prophecies, clear in the Old Testament, you and I could talk about this for hours, Pastor Jim. We haven't even gotten to Isaiah 53, and we may not today, but I encourage you, listening audience, go to Isaiah 53, because the prophet Isaiah was told by God to write these words, and it is the story of Jesus and of him dying on the cross
and
700 or 800 years before it happened.
And I would recommend to our listeners, if you don't have a good study Bible, almost all of them have a listing somewhere of all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. I mean, I know Thompson Chain does, NIV Study Bible does, the ESV Study Bible does, New Life or A Life in the Spirit Study Bible does.
Is that what you have
today? That's what I have today. I have my new Spirit-filled Life Bible.
Okay, we never know what he has. I have a Message, and I have an NIV today. So, but it's all the same story.
Right, but I mean, you know, and just go through, or get Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and More Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Great books,
especially for those of you who are maybe questioning this, because.
Let's say that one more time. Get your pen and write this down, because Pastor Jim and I were in Campus Crusade for Christ. And we went to the same university, Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana, but we did not know each other, and I'm a few years older than he is.
Yeah, we weren't there quite.
We missed each other by a couple years, but we were both, interestingly enough, involved in the same things, the Campus Crusade for Christ movement. Which
Isn't
is so
God
big.
Wonderful?
Isn't that cool? Isn't that, and to bring us together, and you were from Greenfield, Indiana, me from Muncie, Indiana, and then he just walks into Beacon of Hope like almost 3 years ago, and we had not known each other or anything, and the similarities. But I say all that to say that kind of our textbook in Campus Crusade for Christ at that time was Josh McDowell. He's the author of two different books. The first one was
Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
And it says basically Jesus was either a Lord, the Lord, a liar, or a lunatic.
Well, and he's quoting C.S. Lewis there, and
yes.
I love that quote.
Oh.
I really like C.S. Lewis. Amazing man, amazing author.
Yes.
But he said, you know, let's not, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, don't give me this patronizing stuff about Jesus being a great moral teacher.
Right.
Because a great moral teacher would not say the things that Jesus said.
He was always in trouble.
He was always in trouble. And he said he was the Son of God.
Right.
He said he was God.
Right.
He said he was going to die and rise again. Okay, so he didn't leave us that choice.
Right.
Like you said, he's either a liar,
right,
a lunatic, or he's Lord.
Right.
Those are the only choices
he's
given
us.
You can call him a liar, you can make him out to be a lunatic, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord.
Amen. Woo!
Okay.
Amen, brother.
You know, and I would just recommend to people to really study this because, and just real quick story, in Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell talks about Lew Wallace,
mm-hmm.
who was a skeptic and agnostic. He
right.
was out to disprove the resurrection.
Yes.
You know what book he wrote finally because he couldn't disprove the resurrection? Ben-Hur.
Oh, my. That's right. I forgot that.
He wrote Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur.
He tried to disprove
remember
the resurrection.
Remember that movie and all that? Yes.
Not,
he could not.
Could not disprove the resurrection.
That's a good thing to remember.
Ooh, I got goosebumps on
yes.
that one. And then he ended up writing Ben-Hur.
Which was
a
huge.
A Tale of the Christ.
A Tale of the Christ. Fantastic. So, Josh McDowell, two books, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and the sequel is
More
Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And I'll tell you, from my years in college in Campus Crusade, that really sealed what I believed. It just really got it
yeah, and,
down on the
know,
inside
and,
of me.
And Josh talks a lot about the different theories,
right.
about the resurrection and you know, why they're just theories and
right.
not, they can't be proven. They're just crazy.
Yeah. It was just trying to come up with an excuse. We're going to talk more about this and get in more depth in our second hour because Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life, is always a two-hour show, which is exciting.
Praise God.
Praise God, because the way we talk, Pastor Jim, we need another hour here. Those of you that are listening that would like to communicate with us directly right now live, and we are almost coming up on 5 o'clock Tampa time, and you can actually email us directly this moment, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you just want to send a greeting or if you want to send a question or a comment, feel free. You can do that right now. As we mentioned earlier, we are headquartered in Clearwater, Florida here, where the radio station is. We've been on this station now. We have completed 4 years a couple weeks ago,
wow.
and we are in our fifth year on this radio show and this radio station. It started out as an hour show, and then it went to 90 minutes for, almost 4 years.
That's when I started was when it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, 90 minutes, and then last year sometime we went to the 2 full hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thank God for this opportunity, and God provides financially for us every single week. We pay the bill in advance. I drop the check in a little box out here before we come in here and get on the air, and there's never been one time we haven't been able to pay the bill.
And that's a miracle in itself.
That is a huge miracle.
Because
we're not a huge body. We're relatively small.
Yeah. And just,
but we're getting bigger all
right.
the time.
We are getting larger. And
woo.
But just it's glorious to know that it's not just Clearwater
right.
that hears us.
Yes.
It's the whole Bay Area.
Right.
It's radio stations in Arkansas.
Yes.
And it's all across
Mississippi.
All across the world because of the web.
Yes. So if you're listening in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually listen www.tantalk1340.com, and we're right there. So and also the other benefit that Bill, our engineer, made possible a few months ago, this is a new thing, is that every show he sends me, and we put it on our website and it stays there, and he sends it to me that tonight or tomorrow morning, and then it gets on our website, and that's exciting. So beaconofhopeministries.com. So if you listen to a show and you think it would help your great aunt or your neighbor down the street, tell them to go to beaconofhopeministries.com.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be up tomorrow. By tomorrow afternoon usually is when our dear webmaster up in Georgia gets it on there. So anyway, that's what's going on. Our service time, Sunday morning at 11. I started to say 10. It always used to be 10, and we changed that a couple of years ago. Sunday morning at 11 and Wednesday night at 7. We're going to do station identification, then we're going to talk about Wednesday night.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Praise God, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Global Ministry. And we are headquartered here in Clearwater, Florida. Pastor Jim is my associate pastor. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're glad you have joined us today. What happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope, Pastor Jim?
We have prayer meeting and Bible study
and it's choir practice. It's a wild night, isn't it? It starts at 6:15.
Really. It really starts at 6:15, but people start showing up around 5:30-ish.
With dinner,
we eat, we take prayer requests, praise reports, we pray about those, we pray some prayers out of the Prayers That Avail Much book.
We bring, we set up tables on Wednesday night, so you can bring your dinner, you can bring your Bible and your notebook. It's a really hands-on.
Well, it's hands-on Bible study. It's interactive. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we bring our Bibles. There's a topic. Toss out some scriptures, and everybody just kind of gets in and digs into the Word. It's just a great time.
It really is. It's very enjoyable. We get done about 8:30, and then we do some choir practice for Sunday morning. And we really invite you to join us on Wednesday night. We're starting. Pastor Jim, you just finished a seven Wednesday night series.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our Jewish roots.
Right. And we finished up last Wednesday with a Passover Seder.
Boy, that was incredible.
It was. And we did it last year when we were in the hotel. And it was just so different to do it in our own space. And we could really just, we could take our time. We could set things up the way we wanted to. And
you did a wonderful job. Well, we're very proud of you. We're going to put some pictures. I got to get them to Maxine. Nan took some great pictures of you dressed up in your prayer shawl.
Yeah,
and you're looking rather Hebrewish, and it was just really cool. You should see Bill. You should see Pastor Jim in his prayer shawl and his little thing. Yeah, really cool.
It was so cool.
Beautiful night.
Well, and I think it went better this year. Maybe it's just we more prayer. I don't know. Maybe because our own space, but I think people were much more into it this year and really seeing the symbolism.
Yes.
The whole Passover is just symbols.
Symbols.
And types of Jesus.
Oh, totally.
And so that was just glorious.
It was too cool. We're going to do it again next year. So that's really good. So you just finished that series. You and I are going to co-teach a new series. And you're going, really, are we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. And it starts this Wednesday night. And the title of it is Where Do You Belong?
And we're going to talk about your place in the body of Christ. Meaning, what's your position?
Right.
What are your gifts?
Exactly.
What's your calling?
Mm-hmm.
How does God want to use you in this body?
And we're going to start really by the premise that everybody belongs in a body. Does that make sense? Everybody belongs in a body. Yeah, sounds really profound, correct? Right. And we do. We belong. There is a body of believers, and we call them churches or
assembly,
whatever. But there is a group of people where God wants to place you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in this area, Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope. We're a very, I don't know what the word is, eclectic. We have a lot of variety.
We're very diverse.
We're diverse. That's the word.
And
very accepting and welcoming of anybody.
And I'm sorry, you're talking about everybody needs a body. And that Dean Martin song is going through my head.
Everybody needs somebody someday.
Yeah, but I'm thinking everybody needs a body sometime. But that's so true. I mean, the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
That's right.
If you're a believer, the most important thing you can, one of the most important things you can do is get into a body, get into a fellowship, because God's designed us to walk in fellowship with each other.
Amen.
Because we learn from each other.
Yes.
We grow together. Paul uses this symbol a lot. We grow, we're a holy temple of living, Peter says, living stones.
Yes.
Being built into a temple.
Amen.
A house for God.
Amen.
And, we still have some bricks missing.
Sure.
We
need more people.
And we need people who are called to be a beacon, and maybe you're not. And that's great. But don't just sit there and don't go anywhere.
Go somewhere.
Every believer, I believe right along with you, Pastor, every believer is called to be in a body somewhere.
Absolutely.
In an assembly somewhere.
It's just like the disciples, which we'll talk more about that in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But and stay with us this hour, because we're going to talk more about the significance of the resurrection. Not just that it's a holiday and a celebration every year, but why is it life-changing for you? And we're going to get into some details about that, what God wants to do in your life as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to kick this hour off with one of my favorites. And we sang this a whole lot today, didn't we? And last Sunday.
We've been singing this
It's time to give this one a rest. So we send it out with this, the Gaither Homecoming Friends edition of Because He Lives.
How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that He
Vestal always said, we are a people of faith. We're not people of fear. Sing that line again.
We can face uncertain days.
Sing with us.
Because He
the greatest songs, I tell you, that's written about this season by Bill and Gloria Gaither, right there in our neighborhood.
Yes, up in Alexandria,
Muncie, Indiana. Still living, Bill and Gloria, and their daughter now is we featured Amy, their daughter, on the show a few weeks back on a song. What a powerful song. It just does that to me every time. And when Nathan did it this morning, I tell you, What a joy. Woo! You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're talking about the resurrection today, and it is Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, Pastor Jim, let's go and let's go back to John chapter 20 a minute. Let's go to John 20. If you just joined us, you can read this story both in Matthew chapter 28, which we just taught, and now we're going to John 20. And John was written by the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was named
John.
John. And he was the brother of
James.
James. James and John, the sons of thunder, or mm-hmm. sons of Zebedee. And John himself wrote this. And so let's start with John chapter 20. And Pastor Jim, just start reading and commenting as you want here. We are in John chapter 20.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. So, you know, she went way before dawn.
Way before dawn.
And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him."
Right.
So her assumption was, she wasn't even thinking resurrection here. She hadn't seen the angel yet.
Right.
And she went up to Simon Peter and John. We find out later this is John because we know that according to Luke, it was Peter and John that ran back to the tomb.
Exactly.
You know, she wasn't even thinking resurrection. So Peter and John go running off to the tomb.
Yeah.
And it says, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. They ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. Well, no wonder. John was pretty young.
He was young, probably 20 years younger, maybe.
Probably.
Than Peter.
And then Peter came to the tomb and with Peter, and John came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he didn't go in. Talking about John.
Yes.
Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, John, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed.
Amen. Now, woo, that's it right there.
You know, even without seeing Jesus yet, although, of course, we know Peter and John both saw Jesus a little later, John went in there, and he just had like a revelation.
Yes.
Oh, I get it. He's not here. He's risen.
Right.
You know, and if they, you know, if it had been anything else, because it said, you know, the linen cloths were the little handkerchief for the head was folded up.
Interesting,
okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, people who steal bodies don't take the time to fold up, you know, handkerchiefs.
Yeah. I mean, he left neatly,
yes.
And he did not have to be unwound correctly.
Exactly.
Correct?
That body rose through the grave sheets.
Yes.
And Jesus just took the time to fold up the napkin when he was done.
Because with Lazarus in John 11, which we talked about last week.
Right. He had to, I don't know if you've seen Jesus of Nazareth, the made-for-TV movie back in 76.
Mm-hmm.
They show, and it's very accurate, here comes Lazarus kind of hopping out of the tomb.
Exactly.
Because he's wrapped up from head to toe in this winding cloth.
Right.
And not so with Jesus. They're just lying there.
Right.
And Jesus did not have to be unbound. He came up through the claws.
And just left it all perfectly.
Just left
and
it
took
all
time
there.
To fold.
Yeah, and he believed. And then verse 9, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And, you know, they did not know. They didn't have it down inside them yet. This was a fulfillment of prophecy.
Well, and you got to think, Pastor Jim, everything had been happening pretty quickly. You know, we just talked about the timeline. So if you missed the first hour of this show, you need to go back on our website tomorrow and listen to it. Because the timeline, it was from Saturday night, really, to Saturday night. Like a 7-8 day period of things were moving very quickly. You know, and all of this happened in such a rapid sequence of events that they had to be almost stunned.
Right.
You know, they really were like in a state of shock.
Well,
you know, when reality is hitting you real quickly and there's change going on in your life, how it affects you. You know, go ahead.
Well, and yeah, it's just one blow after another.
Right.
The triumphant entry on that Saturday night.
Right.
You know, people are proclaiming that he's the king of the Jews, that Jesus is the king of the Jews. The disciples must have been riding pretty high about that.
Oh, emotionally high.
And yet, then Jesus goes and does all these teachings. And you're right, he didn't make any friends. I mean, those teachings
were seriously severe.
At the hypocrites?
Yes, they were.
He talked a lot at length about the signs of his second coming.
Yes.
And how bad those times are going to be.
From Matthew 22 on, finish the book of Matthew, you'll see what he said in those last few days.
And Jesus crammed in so much teaching.
Huge.
You know, and then, you know, again, he's prophesying about his death. They have the Passover, and he starts it off with, okay, this is the last time I'm going to do this with you.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
Because it was a tradition that they did every year.
Right. And then, you know, he died. Peter denied him. So
right.
Peter, of course, is just in absolute turmoil.
Right.
And then, you know, Mary says they've stole the body, and then later on, she says, they didn't steal it. He's alive.
He's alive.
You know? So they're... You know,
praise
that's
God.
That's a whole lot of stuff to digest in a short
it's
period
huge.
Of time.
So now we're down to verse 11 of John 20.
And Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting at the head, one at the head and one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And she did not know that it was Jesus. Well, you know, people think, well, how could she not know? Well, she'd been crying. And two, she wasn't expecting.
Well, and his physical body, let's remember, was totally beaten to a pulp.
Right.
The beard was pulled out of his face. The thorns were in his head. Another fulfillment. His face was marred, it said, in Isaiah. They hardly recognized him. The last time they saw Jesus, in all fairness, he looked pretty bad.
Well, and I think...
He was beat up.
Yeah, and I think, too, Jesus was, you know, wrapped and you know, had
some type of a shawl, his prayer shawl.
Prayer shawl up and everything. So
right.
She may not have seen,
right.
You know, she may not have seen his face. And, you know, and then in verse 15, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she answered him, she thought him to be the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away."
Yeah.
And I love this.
I do
and
too.
And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. All he had to do was say her name.
Woo!
Oh, praise God.
Isaiah 43, "I've called you by name and you are mine."
And have you heard him call your name?
Amen.
Because he calls each and every... Ooh, I'm going to preach here, Pastor.
That's all right. You go
he
right on. You got the liberty.
He calls every one of us by name.
By name.
He called me.
Yes.
He called you.
Amen.
You know, he said Jim.
Yes.
He said Marcia.
Yes. And you know, a couple weeks ago when I was teaching on the Good Shepherd, if you remember, and talking about the thorns that were around the pen of the sheep, you know, that kept them safe. And of course, the thorns on Jesus' head, and which is really cool that, you know, all that he did for us. But the Eastern shepherds, they named all their sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so cool. And you know, all these sheep had names like Fred and Alice and Ricky and Lucy and you know, Fred and Ethel, all of those names. But they had names, and we have names. God knows your name.
Right, right. And
wow.
And he calls, I mean, he says our name.
Yes.
You know, there's different ways that Jesus revealed himself after his resurrection. He called Mary by name.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we'll hear him call us by name. I mean, praise God. You know, and again, it goes back to what I said the first hour. What are you going to do when he calls your name?
Ooh, hallelujah.
You know, and I can't remember the name of the Billy Graham film that came out the year I was born again.
Okay.
1973. But I remember it had to do with, they're talking about the Hound of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And how the hound, being Jesus, how the Hound of Heaven pursues you.
Amen. Till he chases you. Chases you till he.
And you can't, believe me, you can't outrun the hound.
Right.
But he calls us by name. And that's just so incredible. I mean, the God, the creator of the universe, knows us by name.
I've got to go back to that passage, and then I'll let you amplify on it. It's Isaiah 43. And again, this is the Isaiah, the prophet, that wrote Isaiah 53. This is 10 chapters before. And Isaiah 53 is all the prophecies of that, of everything that did happen with Jesus coming to this earth and dying on a cross for our sins and being resurrected Lord. But Isaiah 43 says, don't be afraid. Now, that's interesting because Jesus was, you know, saying that to the disciples, to the women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. I want you to read it in your translation, too. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. Now, we know that huge price was he went to the cross for us. All of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell the whole world to get you back and trade the creation just for you. Do you want to read those verses, the first four?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I love that.
But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Mm-hmm. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Amen.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Yeah. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Amen.
I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life.
Ooh, wow. The next line in the Message Bible says, so don't be afraid, I'm with you. So I love that. Isn't that great? Back to John 20. So the point being here in verse 18, when Jesus said, Mary,
she knew who it was.
Bam.
She knew the shepherd's voice.
Woo!
And
John 10, he's the good shepherd.
Yeah, and she said, Rabbi, whoa! And Jesus said, you know, don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended. I've not yet gone up there for good.
Right.
But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary came and told the disciples she'd seen the Lord and that he'd spoken these things to her. So.
Wow. Think about their discussion. And I love this. I mean, it really shows. Go ahead.
Well, I love the fact that Mary was the first evangelist.
The first evangelist.
You know, she's the one that proclaimed the resurrection first.
It's amazing. Mary Magdalene that had, in so many human opinions, especially the religious leaders, a sinner, somebody who had a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And, whoa, this is mighty. This is mighty. We're going to talk more about what happened that evening. Don't you want to know what happened that evening? We're going to do that as soon as we hear this song, Arise My Love by New Song.
Arise, my love. like lightning from heaven. The stone was rolled away. And this dead man, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
And suddenly a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind. It was it.
God, what a great song. Arise, Amen. My Love, my new song. We are in John 20, about verse 19 and 20, and you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Later on that day, after the resurrection, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, and that was a point you made earlier, they were very afraid. They had locked all the doors in the house where they were. Jesus entered, stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. Now we know he did not knock on the door. Correct, Pastor Jim? How did he get there?
He just walked in.
He just walked right through the wall.
He just walked right through the
wall. That's that resurrection body.
And no wonder he had to say peace to you.
Right.
Because I mean, it'd be like us sitting here in the booth and all of a sudden, you know, Jesus walks through the wall.
Right.
The first things out of his mouth, it better be peace to you because I'm going to be falling in a faint on the floor.
Exactly. You know, and that's what these guys must have been feeling. Yeah. Whoa. I mean, think of their, you know, just their humanness and how astounding it was to just look up and there's Jesus coming through the wall. Wow.
Well, and then the next thing he did was he showed them his hands and his feet. Mary recognized him by his voice.
Right.
The disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized him when he broke the bread. The disciples in the upper room recognized him when he showed them his hands and his feet.
Yes.
And what did they see?
The nail prints.
You know, we think, you know, and our resurrected bodies are going to be perfect.
Right.
Jesus' is perfect, but he still bears the scars of his sacrifice.
Yes.
In John, in Revelation, said, I saw a lamb as if it had been slaughtered.
Yes.
You know, a lamb as if it had been slain.
Right.
Jesus still bore those marks.
Right.
And that's how they knew him.
Exactly.
You know, when he comes back, when we see him, when he returns, he's still going to have those. And that's how, if I can just take a little sidestep here, that's how the Jews
are
going to know.
You go right ahead. Take your sidestep.
Remember I talked about, you know, the when Jesus comes back, he's going to pour out a spirit of grace and supplication.
Yes.
And prophesied in Zechariah that they, the Jewish people, will look upon him who they pierced. They're going to see those same wounds, and they're going to know that it's the Messiah.
Yes, that's when they're going to know. Amen. Woo, praise God. And the pierce, that was part of the prophecy too, that he would be pierced through. And we know the soldiers, it says in Matthew, went up and took the sword to his sides and out gushed
water and blood. And actually, that's in John.
Oh, is it in John? Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the prophecy was, you know, Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet.
Yes, yes.
You know, again, another fulfillment of prophecy. And Jesus said, it's me.
Yes.
You know, here, look.
I love verse 21 of John 20. Peace be to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. There was an old song many years ago, and when I was a child, and the title of it was, So Send I You. Do you ever remember? Did you ever hear that? And it was a song that just grabbed my dad. And when he was called to the mission field, he and my mom, when I was like 9, 10, that age, I remember the last Sunday we were at the church that he pastored in Indiana. And it was the Sunday before we were going to the mission field. And we were, the five of us, my two sisters and my parents and I, we were all standing in front of the church. And it was so sad to be able to leave that church that they had pastored for 7 years. And, you know, we'd grown up with those kids and everything. And I remember that my dad had that song sung and played over and over as all of this, the sending out to Central America. Mm-hmm. And it was So Send I You to labor unrewarded and so forth. And it was just, this is what Jesus actually said. I send you, so mm-hmm. send I you.
And the Greek word there, I have a little note
Ooh,
here.
What is it?
Apostello.
Ooh.
I wonder what word we get from that. Apostle.
Oh, apostle. The you sent know? One, which the means sent, the sent one.
The sent one.
Yes.
The emissary.
Oh, amen. And Jesus is commissioning the disciples yeah. right here. So send I you, you know. Here we go. You're going. You know so much now, you're going, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
The one he said, and then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He breathed on him, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven.
Yes.
If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
Amen.
And that's not talking about going and confessing your sins to a priest.
No.
It's talking about, Jesus is reminding us here, if I forgive you for sinning against me,
right,
then it's done. If I don't forgive you, then that's not going to be, Jesus isn't going to be able to forgive that. And again, it goes back to, unless you forgive, you're not going to be forgiven yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, but also he's giving them the power to make, and I talked about this in one of the Wednesday night teachings, Jewish, like, commentary on the scriptures, you know, kind of to set the law.
Right.
You know, to interpret the law, to interpret the scriptures. He gave them that power there. And we see that happening, of course, with Peter when he goes to Cornelius, the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. All that is
revelation.
Because of this verse.
Yes, right there.
Yeah, it's where they could take, oh, yeah, I got revelation of these scriptures.
Right. They all make sense suddenly.
And this is how they apply now.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what we want to do right here with this is so that people understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus in their personal everyday life. And so often we're like those disciples, afraid. What does this mean? Jesus, you're wanting more commitment from me. You're wanting me to surrender more of myself to you. What does this really mean? And here he is. He comes through the wall to talk to his disciples. And let's look at Thomas's reaction, because Thomas, we've often called him the doubting Thomas.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, right? And what does Thomas say, and how does he react?
Well, Thomas called the twin in verse 24.
Right.
One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said to him, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I'll not believe."
Woo.
Yeah. Jesus.
But you know what? It's so cool because Jesus honors that.
Yeah. And then
verse 26.
You know, 8 days. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. So this was the following Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors being shut. And
locked,
stood in
it
the
says
midst.
In my message yeah. Bible, the locked doors again.
And he said again, peace to you.
Yeah.
And then he said to Thomas, okay, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand in here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.
But believe.
And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God.
Suddenly, Thomas, in an instant, believed.
Yeah, I mean, here's Jesus, and he says, okay, go on, put your fingers in here.
Yeah.
And Thomas didn't do that. It just says he said, my Lord and my God.
He saw it, and he saw the nail mm-hmm. prints and knew this was who
right.
it was.
And,
this was the Messiah.
Again, here's somebody confronted with Jesus, and praise God, he made the right choice.
Amen. Amen.
You know, he had to make a decision at this point. Jesus said, don't be unbelieving, but believing.
Believe.
Believe.
Woo.
Here.
I love that. And so I love also what Jesus says in verse 29. And we're still in John 20, verse 29. Jesus said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes? Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That it's, I mean, and we can't physically see his hands like the
right.
disciples did, or the nail prints in his feet, or put our hand in his side. But we choose to believe by faith that this is accurate, what we have right before us.
And the scripture says that, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit.
Amen.
That we're sons and daughters of God.
We're sons and daughters of God. Right.
You know, that we've been born again.
Yes.
Because we have the Spirit of God living within us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, praise God we didn't have to see. Because,
right.
you know, when I got born again, I didn't see Jesus, you know, I just knew I wasn't where I needed to be, and, you know, I prayed a prayer, and then I believed
right.
that, you know, Jesus died for me, that he rose again, and that I needed him. And,
amen.
You know, so boom, you know, there it was, I believed, and then the witness of the Holy Spirit took over.
Exactly.
You know, and I just knew.
Absolutely.
There was never a doubt in my mind. I mean, I've doubted a lot of things since then, but never my salvation.
And some of our listening audience need to be reminded of the beauty of their salvation and that it is so simple. John 3:16, Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever
Amen.
Believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. It
whosoever.
Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your past is, what you think your future might be.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
And that's what it took right here. I mean, when Thomas actually said, okay, I believe. I got it. I see it. You're the Lord. You're the Master. You're the Messiah. Remember when Jesus was with Peter, I think, in the boat? I don't know. Maybe they weren't in the boat. And he said to Peter, who do people say I am?
No, this is in Caesarea Philippi.
Okay, and yeah.
It's funny because he talked to all the disciples.
Yeah.
They'd just gotten back from that.
That's right. Yeah,
from being sent out, and he
mm-hmm.
said, "Who do they say?
Who do they say I am?"
Well, some say Elijah, some say one of the other prophets, some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. But then he turns to Peter, and this is so cool. He says, "But who do you now?" Instead of them, who do you say that I am?
Amen.
And again, Peter got the revelation. He said, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Amen. And in John 11, what I taught last week about Mary and Martha says to Jesus, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, okay? And Martha said, you know, I've always thought that's who you were, you know? I mean, she really understood that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
She really did. But yet she was shocked that he brought her brother back from the dead, mm-hmm. you know? Because
you know, raising the dead's not...
That, but so often, I think that we need to address this question. who do you say, dear one listening today, who is Jesus to you? Is he the Lord of your life? Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Is this true? Are you born again and saved by the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross for you?
Well, and I just want to read the last two verses of this
Please
chapter.
Please do. I love those verses. This is John 20, the last two verses.
30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John just didn't have room for them.
Right.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose of John's gospel.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of all the gospels, the book of Acts, Paul's letters, Peter's
yes.
letters, the whole New Testament, and basically the whole Old Testament.
Amen.
These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the
Praise
Son of God.
God. That's it. That's the bottom
Amen.
Line. That's what Resurrection Day is all about. It's not about the Easter bunny.
Exactly.
And it's not about colored eggs, although
right.
those are nice things. This, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus. And how does that resurrection, that event 2,000 years ago, impact your life?
Amen. How does that affect you now?
Exactly.
Are you going to believe that Jesus died and rose again?
Right.
Or are you just going to kind of poo-poo it and try and sweep it under the rug?
Right.
Let me tell you, you've been told.
Right.
And you're accountable now.
For what you do with
for
it.
For what you do with it.
Exactly.
And it's our prayer that you make the right choice, that you come to him and say, like Thomas, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
That you cry out with Mary, Rabbi.
Yes.
You know?
Because then your life changes entirely, totally and completely.
That by believing you may have life.
Life.
And
really
that's
doing
everlasting
life.
The God kind of life.
Woo!
In his name.
And we've got to go to Romans 8:11. We've got to, because Romans 8:11 was written by Paul. He wrote the book of Romans. And he says this, if that same spirit, go ahead and read it, Pastor Jim.
But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you,
mm-hmm.
he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies
Ooh.
Through his spirit which dwells in you.
And that word life there is in the Greek word?
Zoe.
Zoe. The name of my little miniature dachshund, Zoe Grace. And Zoe means the God kind of life.
Right.
And it means I make, I create, I cause to happen, you know? You want to amplify on
well,
that?
It's the higher life,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, I mean, that's an important thing. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you have the very life of God residing
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
And that's why over in Ephesians 1, Romans 2, not only did Jesus die on the cross.
Right.
You know, according to Romans chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, we died on the cross. Everything that we inherited from Adam and Eve was nailed to that cross.
All the sin, all the diseases, all the sicknesses, and every pain.
When Jesus died, we died.
Amen.
Our old self died with
Praise
him.
Praise God.
When he rose again, we
Woo.
Rise to a new life. All we have to do is believe it.
We're going to talk more about that after this song. And this song actually comes from Joel Osteen's church, Lakewood Church. He lives.
Give him your most high praise tonight. Young man who ever knew
Wow. Praise God, he lives. That's Amen. A powerful song from Amen. Lakewood Church. We are living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. This is that day in 2011, and Pastor Jim and I have been discussing the details. Pastor Jim, we are going to conclude the show today with Romans 8:11, and I think it's one of the most powerful verses. Romans 8, the whole chapter is life-changing.
Yeah.
And if people, you want something to read, read Romans 8 and get it down on the inside of you, that you're more than a conqueror. And God wants to really minister to you. And it starts out with, there's no condemnation mm-hmm. to those who are in Christ Jesus. I love Romans 8:1. But then it goes to Romans 8:11, and it says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you,
yeah, I'm about to burst into song.
I know, here. You're about to sing. Dwells in you. And we know it does. The Spirit of God lives in us if we have asked Jesus into our heart.
Amen.
By faith and have received him.
And he will quicken our mortal body.
I like give that. Life.
He'll give life
yeah.
to our mortal bodies. And you know,
that can make you strong physically.
Yes, it can make you strong physically.
Yes.
And it can,
woo, hallelujah.
You know, the life of God within us quickens this mortal body. Mm-hmm. Makes it alive, puts the damper on sin and
Amen.
Death and
Amen.
Sickness.
Absolutely. You know? And really gives us a reason for living. You know, it does something. When it's talking about quickening, it's to me, it's like brings you alive on the inside. And suddenly you're seeing life different. Mm-hmm. And you've got a purpose and a goal.
Right.
And you really believe Jeremiah 29:11-14 that says, for I know the plans I have for you to prosper you and bring you,
Amen.
Give you hope and, a, you know, and all those good things. And that's the purpose, really, of this show. When you weren't around when we started the show almost four years ago now, and we couldn't decide on a title for the show, you know, the name of the show. And it finally settled on Living the Good Life because God is good,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's all about living the way he would have us live, that good life, you know, here on this earth, not full of stress and anger and anxiety and quit.
Well, yeah, and it's not that we're living the abundant life.
The abundant
you know,
life,
the
yes,
good life,
John 10.
Living the great, you know. It's,
yes.
It is a good life.
Yes.
You know, it's a wonderful life.
Amen.
You know? Because, well, we played it before, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
My fear is gone. And I
yes.
used to, I shared this story, I think, when I was a little kid, there was a family that lived down the street, and they went to a fundamentalist church, and I was just a little kid. I didn't know anything back then. I wasn't born again, didn't know the Bible. But they came and said, you know, Jesus has come. The world's going to be destroyed. That was their interpretation of the second coming. The world's going to be destroyed. Well, you know, when you get low clouds and, you know, mercury street lamps, it all glows.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The sky looks like it's on fire. Well, I was just, I mean, I went to bed terrified a number of nights.
Wow.
Because I thought
the world was coming to an end. Yeah.
That, the minute I got saved, really saved, back in 1973.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I'm ready. You know, take me now. Take me in the rapture. Let me live. I don't, you know, I'm ready.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah.
You know, and, you know.
No more fear. Right. All fear is gone.
The writer of Hebrews said, Jesus came to destroy the fear of death.
Yes.
You know, it was one of the reasons he came.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's the good. We don't have to, we can face tomorrow no matter what happens.
Amen.
Because Jesus lives inside of me, and he's got a plan and a purpose for me, for you, for everyone listening.
Amen.
He's got a purpose for your life.
Yes.
And he just wants us to believe in him and submit.
Amen. To his lordship. Yes.
Right. And, you know, so much casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. That's part of, like you said, not living in anxiety. You know, we all have stress. We all have anxiety. We all have things we have to do, bills to pay and this and that and the other thing. And you know what? This is what I found out over the years. If I try and do all this on my own, yeah, it gets real chaotic.
Right.
My life spins out of control.
Right.
But the minute I just lay back and pray and submit again to God and say, okay, that it's yours.
It's in your hands.
It's in your hands. Then, you know, I notice physically my breathing slows down. And, you know, it's just
you rest
the shalom,
in him.
The peace of God,
which is what Jesus said to the disciples when he walked through the doors every
shalom.
Meeting. Yeah,
shalom,
peace to you, shalom. If you are not walking in that peace, and you are not sure right this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus. Now, this moment is the appointed time for you to make the life-changing decision and begin your journey serving the resurrected Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Jim, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Any of you out there in our audience that need to pray this prayer to seal down your salvation, to nail it down right now, please repeat with Pastor Jim. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth.
In the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah.
That the Father God sent him to this earth to die on a cross.
That the Father God sent him to this earth to die on a cross.
For my sins and my sicknesses.
For my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
I ask you now, Lord, by faith.
I ask you now, Lord, by faith,
to forgive me for anything and everything I've ever said or done.
To forgive me for anything and everything I've ever said or
that
done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Forgive me for all my sin.
Forgive me for all my sins.
I repent of it and go in the other direction.
I repent of it and go in the other direction.
I begin my life now.
I begin my life now.
As your child.
As your child.
You are my Lord and Savior.
You are my Lord and Savior.
Come into my heart by faith.
Come into my heart by faith.
And live on the inside of me.
And live on the inside of me.
From this moment on, I am your child.
From this moment on, I am your child.
And you are my Father God.
And you are my Father God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo. And if you prayed that prayer and you want more information about what you just decided to do, invite Jesus in your heart, you can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will respond to you. And, you know, Pastor Jim, God is moving in so many lives, and what a joy to have this resurrection radio show today. It's just been great, and to celebrate the significance of this time in history. And you and I are starting a new series on the Holy Spirit now. We're going to get into, we're going to take this, actually we'll probably go right on here where we left off and go into detail about the 40 days and some other things and get into a teaching on the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks that as we approach Pentecost, that's going to change lives. And, you know, it's not okay to be ignorant of what God has in store for us, you know?
Amen. Because he wants us to live in the fullness.
Yes.
Not only of the what we talked about, the abundant life, but he's got a purpose, a calling for each one of us.
Amen.
And he longs for us to fulfill that.
Yes.
And, you know, we can run from it. You and I are both examples of that. We can run from it. We can try and say, oh, I'm not worthy. But it's still there.
It's still there.
And God is going to keep calling us, all of us, to fulfill his purpose.
He has a plan for your life, Amen. Dear listener. And you may not understand it right now. You can actually talk to us personally, email or on the phone. And we want to talk to you and help you. And if you need guidance, now's the time to get it. And just Amen. Know that God's got wonderful blessings in store
he
for
does.
You.
He
and
does.
You may just not know what those are yet. So final thought, Pastor Jim, because we're going to do a wrap up here.
Well,
got about...
I just want to say, praise God, Jesus is alive.
Yes, amen.
You know, I can sum this whole thing up. Jesus is alive.
He did not stay in that tomb.
He didn't stay in that
tomb. He's the resurrected Lord.
Amen.
Woo, praise God. It's been great to have you with us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with Pastor Jim Ellsbury. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7. We'd love to have you join us for Bible study and learn the Word of God with us.
Amen.
If you have any prayer requests, I forgot to mention that. We have a great prayer team. It's a worldwide ministry now. The prayer team is worldwide. You can write your prayer request to prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, and it will get prayed for by the big prayer team, and you will receive your answers. God Amen. Is moving mightily. Praise Amen. Reports abound. So prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. We have a miracle happening this week at Beacon of Hope. Our dear Deb and Alice are moving back from Houston, Texas, and they'll be here on Saturday, and they're part of our radio team, but they're moving back. God's bringing them back home, and we're so excited. We're going to celebrate that. And just celebrate next Sunday. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, as I said, come and join us at 11 o'clock for service. It's not far to Jesus. He's got great things in store for you.
Amen.
It's been a joy being with you today. See you soon.